Well, for some of us, it was a shock to hear during the week of the passing, of course, of Les Murray, famous sports commentator, as we know, a world traveller for his beloved game of soccer, now called football, of course. There wasn't much that got past Les with his expertise, passion for the game, and valued opinions were always right on the money. And with that, he won over millions and millions of Australians into the code. I had the pleasure of working with Les at SBS on the many sports shows, one of which was the World Game. And he was a class act, always a gentleman, dressed immaculately, loved his red wine and smokes, and was respectful of the country that he became very much a part of from those early days as a refugee from Hungary. Well, one man who has worked for decades alongside of Laszlo, as he was well known, was former Australian international soccer player, football player, and also a very, a sparring partner of Les's during those days, Mr. Craig Foster, better known to many affectionately as Fozzie, joins us on the show this morning. Welcome, Foz, mate. Thanks for your time.
That's okay, Mike. I know, you know, you were part of the family at SBS for a period there. You knew him well also, and so it was very sad news for
Very sad news, mate. He'd been ill for a while, obviously, leading up to this. A lot of people probably didn't know that, but this this wasn't a sudden for a lot of people that knew him a little closer in the last few years?
No, he hadn't been well for the last couple of years, as I think SBS statement pointed out. He had lymphoma, like so many unfortunate Australians, and Les fought a lengthy battle off and on, and it was from good news to bad, as it so often is.
Yes.
And we were so hopeful right throughout. He fought extremely strongly, and sadly, in the end, you know, God scored the golden goal in extra time and took him away from us.
As I mentioned, you'd been there for a long, long time, longer than myself. How did you first get involved? Just to give us a bit of background with the show, with SBS, with Les, for that matter.
Well, look, we should keep the focus on Les all the time. I think in sometime down the track, probably Mike, we'll all reflect on what he did for us personally and so on. But
yeah.
Look, he brought me in back in 2002, but he did that to many other people.
Yes.
He gave a career to extraordinary amount of Australians through SBS. He ran that department, as you know. I was saying to some people yesterday, he was a magnificent leader. People wouldn't realise he wasn't just the face, but he ran as head of sport for several decades.
Mm.
And he ran a department that had a wonderful culture. It was about the game. It was... He used to always say, and the first thing he said to me was, Foz, just remember, it's not about you, it's about the game.
Yeah,
and I think that's what we should focus on now. It's not about us, it's about the man that he was, the contribution he made,
well
and
said.
Why we're so proud of him.
Yeah, no, well said there, mate. Look, he did change the views and feelings in Australia, didn't he? I mean, he did put the game first, as you've just said, and we've heard, the old cliches that used to be called wog ball, and, but he's turned the whole thing around for Australia, didn't he? Into a well-respected code here.
Yeah, he played an absolutely pivotal role, a central role, as did his great mate Johnny Warren, of course,
yes.
And it's so fondly remembered as the pair, Mr. and Mrs. Soccer, they were called.
Yes,
in,
I saw
in
that
a book.
Clip.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. So they both lived a simply extraordinary life. They came from two different aspects. One, an Aussie kid who could play football, and the other, incredibly, an Hungarian refugee with this immense... unquenchable respect and love came. And what he did, he found an opportunity through SBS to present to Australians about the game and to showcase the game.
Sure.
And he used it as a platform to try to teach Australia about the rest of the world and about why and what football does for this country. He believed in that very passionately, and that's why we all and every football fan in the country came to love him.
The other thing was, I've heard you say that he was so well respected overseas when you guys travelled, when you did reporting for the games overseas, when you did all those trips. He knew a lot of, big wigs. They all respected him. And that was a great, obviously a great sign of the man, wasn't it?
Well, that's an achievement in itself, because if you consider that in football, of course, we were in the 74 World Cup, but it took us, after that until 2006. And through those years, whilst we loved our domestic game and tried very hard, we weren't really a part of the international community. So it was difficult for Australia to produce someone who now had a platform and was a respected member of the international community, who perhaps wasn't a chairman of the governing body or some such thing, and even they didn't have the love and affection of the game. So he worked with Martin Tyler and legends of the game, for instance, for many years, and it was a great... Martin was a great example, actually, because Les believed in the game so much and respected it so much that he believed that Australians needed to see the best of the game. So, for example, even when the World Cups were on and the English broadcasters wouldn't use Martin Tyler, Les would pay the finest football commentator in the world every World Cup to come and work with us. Why? Is because they loved each other, they were very fond of each other, but most importantly, he believed that Martin Tyler would best communicate the game to Australians and support the growth of the game here in the long term. That was the inherent essence of his philosophy about giving the best of the game to Australia. And today, you know, in 2017, we see a different game.
Yeah.
And everywhere we look in the game here, whether it's professional game or the administration, it has the fingerprint and the handprint of Les Murray fairly and squarely on it.
Correct. You mentioned Johnny Warren before. I remember working on those overnight games where we'd set up the smoking lounge outside the studio and they would sit and argue about the game and whatever. They were really, really close, weren't they?
Oh, they were brothers.
Yeah.
But Les was like that. You know, many people who are reflecting on him now, and a lot of things I see on social media and people send, send things, say that he was a very trusted friend. He was an incredibly loyal person. He was actually a very loving person. The essence of him was very genuine. And once people had his trust and his friendship, then he would generally do anything for them. So whilst he's a public figure and everyone loves him and what he did for the refugee cause and came to symbolise Australia's multiculturalism, that of course is obvious and extremely important. But the people that he spent time with, and there are tens of thousands, they know him as a very loving and loyal and trusting person.
We're not talking about you here, but I am a bit, if you don't mind me asking you, your favourite memory, what do you hold dear of a memory of Les Murray that you spent all that time with him? What will you hold dear till forever more?
Oh, well, all the memories, you know, are coming back, you know, as we reflect on it. But I spent 15 years with Les.
Yeah.
And our relationship was quite an odd one because, you know, I'm an Aussie from Lismore, which is a very, or it always has been, a quite monocultural type of area.
Yeah.
And then, you know, one of my best and closest confidants, colleagues and friends in life is a 71-year-old Hungarian refugee.
Yes.
Whose life experience could not be any further removed. But the beauty is we came together through football, and I think that's what's so important, because that's what the game does, and that's the essence of what Les believed in, that football could unite all Australians, all our multicultural diversity, and that happened in 05. So probably there was many, you know, when we spent time at World Cups, every day we used to have to go what he called La Cantina. You know, as soon as we got to a World Cup, he would identify a local cafe or restaurant, and every lunch we had to go there, watch the games together, have a vino tinto, argue about football, abuse everyone on the field, abuse the officials, right? And so those moments were very special because I knew that I was spending World Cup moments with one of the legends of our game and one of the most knowledgeable football people you could ever get. It was like dream time. But perhaps the best, I think, was in 05 when we qualified. Les and Johnny were famous in 97 when I was there when we failed against Iran for crying on air.
Sure.
Les and I both did that many times. The tears would flow. But that night when we covered Australia securing, after 32 years of hurt, World Cup qualification, well, we both cried on air and we both cried tears afterwards for some time. That was when I saw him probably at his most ecstatic, his most lively, his most vibrant, and he's most happy.
Yeah, that's fabulous. Well, there's going to be many tears shed, no doubt, in the ensuing weeks, and we wish you well, Fozzie. Thank you for your time. I know it's been very hard for a lot of people at SBS, and I just thank you for your time, mate. Good on you.
That's okay. No, it's a pleasure.
Good on you. Craig Foster there, folks.